Well, the Great Red Spot we like to refer to as the solar system's oldest known and most famous storm. It was possibly observed by Giovanni Cassini as early as 1665. That's over 350 years ago, although it's been continuously observed for more than 180 years. It's about 10,000 miles wide. That means we could fit two or three Earths in it. It has been known to change its size. There were several years in the recent past where it was appeared to be shrinking, but that change in size seems to have stopped, and if anything, it might be increasing in size again.
How is it that storms can last so long on Jupiter, do we know?
Well, that's something that we don't know, and it's one reason for the existence of the Juno mission is to learn about Jupiter and how it works so that we know more about the workings of the solar system and storm systems on Earth. One thing that we will do on Monday night when Juno flies directly over the Great Red Spot is we will be able to peer into the storm to see just how deeply it's rooted in Jupiter's atmosphere. Until now, we've basically relied on images of the cloud tops, and we see this feature at the very highest levels of the atmosphere, but we don't really know how far into the planet it goes. There's a very neat instrument on Juno called the microwave radiometer. It kind of works like the thermometer the doctor sticks in your ear to take your temperature, in some sense. Microwaves of various wavelengths can tell us about the temperature of the atmosphere and other aspects of the atmosphere. And the longer the wavelengths, the farther into the planet they can penetrate. So we think the microwave radiometer will be able to tell us just how deeply into the atmosphere the Great Red Spot extends, which I think will help those who study atmospheric sciences and the physics of storms like this more about how a storm like this can exist for possibly 350 years or more.
We've always called it the Great Red Spot, but I was looking at some pictures that NASA has put out more recently. It's really light brown and a little bit of orange. Does it change color?
Actually, it has been observed to vary in color. I personally don't know how much that has to do with a personal point of view or the type of instrument used. I believe there really has been documented change in color. And actually, the color has always been an enigma. I don't believe there's a consensus on why the color is reddish or brownish or whatever color it happens to be. It's thought it probably has to do with trace constituents, contaminants of perhaps complex molecular organic molecules, or perhaps some red phosphorus or a sulfur compound. I don't think we really know what causes the color.
You mentioned some instruments earlier that are on board Juno. Were those the ones that were built at the U of I?
No, I talked about the microwave radiometer that was built at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. The University of Iowa instrument is also a radio instrument. It looks at lower frequencies than microwaves, and actually we'll be looking as we pass over the Great Red Spot for radio emissions we call whistlers that are associated with lightning. So we'll be curious to see whether there's lightning coming from the Great Red Spot or around it.
Jupiter itself, it's called a gas giant. That means that there's no actual planet underneath all of that? It's just a big swirling mass of gases?
Well, that's another mystery that Juno is trying to resolve. It was thought before Juno arrived that there likely was a smallish compact core, which you might call a rocky core, but at those temperatures and pressures, I think the concept of rock is probably not a good one. But the early observations from the gravity measurements suggest that there's not a compact core there. There's a denser region in the interior, but it seems to be more diluted than pre-Juno models would have suggested. So instead of finding a kind of a dense, well-defined core, it looks like the core, if you call it a core, might be, let's say, fuzzy and larger than people thought, but maybe not as dense. So I think the jury's still out on that. We have many flybys left in the mission, and each one of those adds information that we can put into the models and try to come up with better models than those we had before Juno arrived.